Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Cool, we're famous.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Wednesday, December 7th. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air on the memorial of St. Ambrose, Bishop and Doctor of the Church. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins and our studio producer, Sarah Tafoya. It's good to be with you on this Wednesday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Today is day 8 of the Novena to the Immaculate Conception, and on this day, we take a moment to meditate on Mary, the mediatrix of all graces. Today also marks the 81st anniversary of the Japanese attack against America at Pearl Harbor. Every year on December 7th, we honor and remember the 2,403 service members and civilians who were killed during the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941. Listen to the famous words of President Franklin D. Roosevelt to Congress the day after the attack.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
1,178 people were injured in the attack as well, which permanently sank two U.S. Navy battleships, the USS Arizona and the USS Utah, and destroyed 188 aircraft on that day, December 7th, 1941, a day that will live in infamy. I want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories making headlines here on this Tuesday morning?
Well, the 2022 election for the U.S. Senate appears to be finally over. That runoff election held yesterday and several days before that, actually, in Georgia is now final. Raphael Warnock heading back to the Senate, giving the Democrats a 51-49 margin there, narrowly defeating challenger and former NFL star Herschel Walker by about 100,000 votes, 51.4% to 48.6% last night. Close voting, John, across the state of Georgia. Walker won the majority of counties, but the big ones, especially in the Atlanta metro, went for the Democrat Warnock.
Well, it was a tight race, as expected. When I went to bed, it was basically, even. So, obviously, the votes from the big cities, from the big counties, the Democratic votes for Warnock ended up being the difference in this election. Glenn, what is your take on what this majority in the Senate will mean for the Democrats now, 51-49?
Well, it had been a 50-50 tie, but then the Democratic Vice President Kamala Harris had the ability to break that tie in the Democrats' favor. Now, that won't be necessary if everybody votes along party lines, 51-49 for any particular measure. But it also affects who's in charge of some of the chairmanships of the different committees that had been split with the 50-50 split a little bit. So a little bigger advantage, one more vote as far as room to maneuver a little bit for the Democrats as well. But the Republicans taking charge of the House coming up in just a couple weeks here. But keep your eyes on legislation that will try to get passed before that Democratic House goes away.
Absolutely. And, big picture, how do you see our Congress, which continues to be divided going forward?
Yeah, not a lot might get passed in the next 2 years with a slim Democratic lead in the Senate, a slim Republican lead in the House, and a Democrat in the White House. A lot of legislation might not get through. All eyes kind of looking to even how last night's election plays toward 2024. Former President Trump, of course, has announced another run for the White House there. He'd endorsed Herschel Walker, and those keeping tabs on his influence, noting that, here's another loss for a candidate endorsed by the former president.
And from some of the audio that you played there at the top, it sounds like Herschel Walker took the defeat graciously and is upbeat.
Yeah, exactly, John, exactly.
Yeah, and Raphael Warnock, you know, his message was basically the people have spoken.
Yep, and now we'll move forward and see what happens. But with a kind of a divided Congress, again, not a lot of legislation might get passed in the next couple of years.
Well, speaking of legislation, the defense bill is going to include repeal of COVID-19 mandates, especially for the military. Why is this important?
Well, this took effect and it had kind of an expiration date of 1 year there. As far as the Democrats and you know, the U.S. needs to meet its quota with service members as well, and so you know, limiting otherwise healthy men and women from serving because of COVID status has become a bit of a problem in some branches as well. But part of passing this Defense Authorization Act, $847 billion, that's billion with a B, in spending for 2023.
Wow, that is. That is a lot of funding. There were a lot of folks who were concerned that it's just not fair for members of the military to lose their jobs because of the mandates, especially with what we know now about the how effective or how not effective the COVID vaccines are.
You know, and just anecdotally, too, talking with different friends who were worried about that, changed jobs due to that, moved due to that, and things like that. I think you'll see perhaps some more lawsuits as more and more of the vaccine mandates are rolling away, or employers kind of not worrying about some of their rules they'd had about that as we move forward, perhaps.
Well, on a lighter note, Time Magazine has named their Athlete of the Year, and the winner is New York Yankee slugger Aaron Judge, who had a historic year, obviously breaking Roger Maris's American League record with the 62 home runs. What a great year for Roger Maris. And so now the big question is, where is he going to go?
Yeah, who needs a big slugger? Who needs a record-setting home run king on their team? I'm sure it'll be a pretty big windfall for Mr. Judge. Many thinking, oh man, how could they let him leave New York? But you never know what teams are willing to do. Rumors this week, the American League batting champ who just edged out Judge, Luis Arraez with the Twins, could be on the trade block as the Twins look for some starting pitching. So you never know. The hot stove league, as they call it, talking baseball trades, underway in earnest.
Definitely, and especially with the winter meetings that are going on as we speak. I guess Judge is trying to decide whether to stay with the Yankees or to go to the San Francisco Giants or another team. I've heard talk of possibly even the Dodgers as a possibility. So it'll be interesting to decide what the Judge decides to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Meanwhile, the war in Ukraine, of course, has affected millions of people over the last 9+ months. But, Glenn, I understand it's even affecting animals.
That's right, in zoos. I mean, when you have cities under bombardment, nearly a dozen lions have been rescued from the zoo in Odessa, Ukraine. They brought to a home on the other side of the world. 11 lions, including 2 cubs, are now in Denver, Colorado. The adults have been released into the 65 adult lions, that is, 65-acre enclosure. The cubs have been paired with a half-lion, half-tiger named Beatrice, who is now the animal's mother figure, as those young ones will need that. But you got to wonder, you know, a little bit, certainly nothing compared to the struggle for humans, but in times of disaster, what animals are thinking if they're looking for a chance to make a break. I remember there was some great flooding in Duluth, Minnesota a few years ago, and so much so the water floated the aquatic life out and over the fences. There was a seal that was found in an intersection in the street that was flooded and rescued and taken and survived at the zoo in the Twin Cities for a few more years after that. And for some reason, I remember the seal's name was Vivian, because there was a picture of Vivian the seal in an intersection with its eyes lit up by the photographer in the flash, kind of looking like it's wondering what's going on now that it's made its escape. But
well, Glenn, that just sounds like the starting of a fun kid cartoon movie, like those Madagascar series where these animals are in the zoo and they're trying to escape because they think they have a better life somewhere else. And in other kid animal movies, sometimes they're out in the wild and they wish they could have a life in the zoo, they think it would be easier. So you know what? The grass is always greener no matter where you're at, animal or human. There's always something that looks more enticing, more fun on the other side. But I mean, could you imagine waking up on your daily commute and then seeing a seal in the middle of the road? That would be very different.
Well, it reminds me of the recent hurricane in Florida. There were photos of sharks going right down the middle of the street in Naples, Florida, which is pretty unbelievable. Can you imagine seeing a shark? Somebody was telling me that they didn't think it was a shark. They thought it was a porpoise.
Yeah, right. Well, I think it would be hard to believe that a shark is actually, you know, it seems like, again, something from a movie. And I think at Mary Graham, when she was on the show, she was reporting that to us. And just so strange to think that, you know, we're so used to animals being at arm's length, far away, you know, behind the gate and the fence and everything, that to be so close to nature when it's real like that and it's just real happening, to, especially exotic animals, you know, that we don't usually, you know, like we see dog and cats up close, but exotic, it's just strange to think. But hey, you know what? It happens every now and then.
It's interesting how animals do when they're in captivity. You can learn a lot from even from your own house pet. For example, our beagle has his own crate, and he actually loves his crate. He likes to go into his crate. It's like his little cubby hole, his den. And sometimes I'll come home, and he has put himself in the crate. Can you believe it?
Home sweet home.
Absolutely. All right, Sarah, Glenn, as always, thanks again.
Sure thing, John.
We begin every morning in prayer, as always, first things first, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings, always through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit every morning here on the show when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Once again, on Wednesdays, I always take a moment to remind you to pray to St. Joseph. He is a powerful intercessor. Go to Joseph. And a little bit later in the second hour of our show, we're going to talk about St. Joseph, especially here during this time of Advent. The role of St. Joseph as a father and a husband as he guided the Holy Family to Bethlehem. And Father Marcel Tyone, our spiritual director, will be with us, and that is coming up in hour number two. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from 1 Timothy 2:1 and 2. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "First of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all men, for kings who are in high positions, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, godly and respectful in every way." St. Paul reminds us to pray for our government, especially at this time, to pray for our leaders. Even if we don't agree with their policies or their politics, we're called to pray for our president, our Congress, and all of our leaders, because the Lord, in his infinite ocean of mercy, wants all men to be saved and to come to know the knowledge of the truth. And we always pray with great confidence, "Jesus, I trust in you." You can also always find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. And you can always send us an email at morningair@relevantradio.com. Want to take a time out here as we continue this morning, remembering this day. It's a day that obviously, as an American, as a patriot, I can never forget the events of December 7th, 1941. I wanted to bring in Glenn and Sarah real quickly. you know, I obviously, you know, as Americans, as patriots, you know, there are dates that you just never forget. You know, just recently we had November 22nd with the assassination of President Kennedy. Obviously, September 11th, a day that we'll never forget. And that goes the same for December 7th. None of us were alive on December 7th, but we know the historical implications of one of the darkest days in American history.
Yeah, well, I mean, even that speech that we played earlier, I mean, again, like you said, we weren't alive, but it's something that is just in our... It's in our DNA. We've heard that so much. Someone starts it off, and you know the rest of that clip because that's played every year, and every year we remember what catapulted us into World War II to kind of make an end to that really gruesome war and all the things that were happening at that time. And Glenn, I'm not sure what your feelings are on this, but I know that it's something that I think everyone has some sort of memory or something attached to it. Right, Glenn?
Yeah, I love history. I've read a lot about it myself, but, you know, heard a little bit about the feeling at the time as an adopted kid. My parents were a little older when they brought me home, and my mom graduated from high school, excuse me, in 1941. And she remembers, you know, and again, the war, the U.S. was not involved yet. You know, again, she would have graduated in June of 41. But, you know, late in that school year, boys were leaving school and just kind of disappearing. And she was wondering where they were all going. Well, they were signing up. The U.S. wasn't involved yet, but the war was going on in Europe. And we were starting to ramp things up. But Pearl Harbor really shook America out of a time of isolationism. And we'd kind of, you know, helped with the Lend-Lease program, providing material for Britain to fight the war in Europe, but we weren't yet involved until Pearl Harbor came along. And then, you know, one can only imagine it, you know, 9/11, everyone heard about it pretty instantly, and we were able to watch it unfold live on TV. This was a Sunday morning, you know, and an early Sunday afternoon in the main 48 of the U.S. at the time. And so it was kind of a sleepy rollout of the news. Took a while for people to believe what happened. But, John, when you were talking about the battleships that were sunk, you look at, as some see, is God's hand saving the U.S. by what didn't happen that day in Pearl Harbor, as far as the aircraft carriers were out of the harbor, out on maneuvers in the ocean, saving them. The Japanese did not bomb the oil and gas tanks that were the fuel for the entire Pacific Fleet. Those were left alone. They kept going after the ships in battleship row, and as it were, several were repaired and brought back into action. And so it's just amazing how things unfolded. But, you know, you try to imagine what it might have been like being on a ship that was hit. Again, no one was ready for this physically at the time, many still sleeping, and suddenly thrown into oil-covered water that was on fire. You know, imagine a ship turning over and so many being stuck inside, which happened as well. You know, very, very tragic. But that, in what we were able to do in, you know, about 3.5 years to defeat not only Japan but Germany as well, was quite an amazing full all-out effort by the U.S. at home and abroad.
And Glenn, the vast majority of veterans are no longer with us. I understand there's still a few that have survived. But every year at the site of Pearl Harbor, the USS Arizona, there's always remembrances to never forget that day that lives in infamy.
I believe I saw the youngest survivor now at 98 years old. As you know, God willing, in our lifetimes here, we might see the last World War II survivors here.
I mean, shocking when you see videos and, you know, recreations of what happened in World War II, both in Europe and with fights, you know, on the Pacific Ocean and everything. It's so gruesome and intense. You're wondering how there's any survivors at all. There's just so much that happened, and it's very intense time, and, you know, a call for people to stand up and do whatever they could, no matter whether you were in the war effort or at home. And really just the things that people, you know, who were in the war zone, you know, in Europe, people all over you, their houses and everything destroyed, rubble everywhere. I mean, people in Ukraine are dealing with this right now. Throughout the world, wars that are happening, they're dealing with this type of stuff. And, you know, as Americans, even with 9/11, we still haven't had to sacrifice in the way that I think people during World War II did. So very fortunate that despite what happens and the scariness in the world today, that's not something that we are dealing with. So in all of this, there's always something to be grateful for. So I'm definitely grateful for that.
And we obviously continue to pray for peace in this day and age. Here we are 81 years later, and there's war going on in Europe. In fact, coming up in the next segment, we're going to hear from Ashley Narona, who will talk about the Holy Father's comments of how history has been repeating itself today in Ukraine. So we need to continue to pray for peace and to invoke the Prince of Peace, our Lord Jesus Christ, who at the end of the day, he is the only answer.
Oh, amen to that. Amen to that. And to think that the clock's being turned back some 80 years in Europe, you know, with one country invading another. My dad, again, my folks have both passed on many years ago, but served in the Pacific. And to think, you know, we had done a little project, you know, trying to capture the stories of elderly folks before it's too late and asking him a series of questions. One of those things was, what's something you thought that you'd never see? And we're thinking like, oh, airplanes, computers, you know, TV, whatever, modern appliances of one sort or another. His answer off the top of his head was the U.S. There was a time he spent 4 years straight in the South Pacific. He thought he'd never see the U.S. again. Obviously, he did. But to live with that type of wonder, we can't imagine that if we've not been in the heat of battle.
Absolutely. Well, we will continue to honor all the servicemen and all the people involved in Pearl Harbor on this day. As always, thanks again, Glenn and Sarah. We need to take a short time out as Morning Air continues. On the other side, our Rome correspondent, Ashley Narona, will be with us with the latest news on the Holy Father from the Vatican. So stay with us on this Wednesday as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Che quando si parla dell'Italia si sentono suonare I mandolini.
And welcome back to Morning Air on the Feast of St. Ambrose, Bishop and Doctor of the Church. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and Sarah. It's good to be with you. Thanks so much for tuning in on this Wednesday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. As you know, it's now time to bring Rome to home for the latest news from the Vatican. We go live to the Eternal City and our Rome correspondent, Ashley Narona. Ashley and her husband, John, founded the Truth and Beauty Project, providing Renaissance-style theological formation for visitors to Rome. You can always read more about them at johnandashley.org. Good morning, Ashley. Buongiorno. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It is always a blessing to be with you from beautiful Roma.
Hey, good morning. Buongiorno from across many, many miles.
Well, Ashley, tell us about the Holy Father this morning at his Wednesday audience. What was the main focus of Pope Francis?
Sure. Well, today at the audience, John, the Pope continued his conversation that he's been having the last few weeks on discernment. Today he spoke about the importance of inner peace as it's connected to the process of discernment. In fact, he said one of the best that you have discerned a good spirit is when you have a peace that really lasts. He called it a peace that brings harmony and unity and fervor and zeal. He said that one of the ways that we can confirm decisions are the ones that the Lord has for us is with signs from our daily lives. Because he said that the spiritual life is circular. So therefore, the goodness of a choice benefits all areas of life because it's a participation in God's creativity. So to give an example of that, the Pope talked about a person, for example, who decided to dedicate an extra half hour to prayer. And afterwards, the Pope said that person should ask themselves whether that prayer changed their disposition throughout the day. Were they more serene? Were they more anxious? Did they care less about their work? Were their relationships more difficult or more tranquil? So he also, St. Peter's Square, having two points where you stand in the middle of St. Peter's Square, look at Bernini's beautiful colonnades that go around each side of St. Peter's Square. When you stand in either one of these points, you see the columns as perfectly aligned. he said it's in a similar way that a person can understand that they've made a good decision when more into discovery of renewed energy. And he said it's in these moments that a person can be free in relation to the decisions they've made, and willing, and when there's a willingness to revisit that decision, that possibility to learn something, to discover a teaching from the Lord that surrounds that decision.
You started to talk about the Holy Father's message this morning from the general audience, and we want to make sure we didn't miss any of your words, because it was breaking up there.
Well, John, absolutely. Yes, we definitely don't want to miss any of the message about inner peace today, as the Holy Father continued to talk about the importance of discernment in one's prayer life. And he said that inner peace is a way that people can realize that they are moving towards the good, that they're moving towards God's will, because often we feel a peace. He called it a peace that brings harmony, unity, fervor, and zeal. And this kind of peace, he said, can be confirmed with all kinds of signs from our daily life, because he said the spiritual life is circular. So therefore, if you make a good choice, it's going to benefit all of the areas of your life, because it's a participation in God's creativity. And in fact, he looked at an example of somebody who decided one day to dedicate an extra half hour to prayer. He said, well, then afterwards, that person should ask themselves if that act affected other moments of their life and how it affected them. So in other words, were they more serene or anxious? Did they care more or less about their work? And were their relationships more difficult or more tranquil? Now, he also gave an example for all of those who have ever been to Rome and stood in St. Peter's Square. He talked about the points in St. Peter's Square, where when you're standing at these two exact points, when you look at Bernini's columns, his colonnades that surround either side of the square, when you stand in those points, you can see the columns are perfectly aligned. So when you step a little bit to the right or a little bit to the left, it looks like a forest of columns, but only in that exact spot. So he said, in a similar way, you can understand if you've made a good decision when your day also becomes more ordered, more aligned, and integrated, and there's a renewed energy that comes from that. And so finally, he said that it's really important that in discernment, to remember to remain free, to follow the will of the Lord, but to also constantly ask, what's a possible teaching from the Lord through every decision that one makes and the outcomes that come? Because, of course, as the Pope pointed out, only God knows what's truly good for all of us. And so with that, he reminded everyone in St. Peter's Square today that the Lord created everyone free, and that also means that we are free to say no to God. But through the gift of prayer and through the sign of inner peace, it's one way of knowing that we have earned what he called a fear of God, or a respect of God, John.
Fantastic message by the Holy Father, and really at the end of the day, it's about that peace that surpasses all understanding that St. Paul talks about.
Yes, exactly. Because he said that we have to remember that there should be no fear. When we are oriented to God, who is the Lord, we are in his presence, then nothing should disquiet us, and that fear should not be there. So that's a great thing to always use as a marker in our lives as we look for that inner peace.
And Ashley, I understand the Holy Father also spoke at the end of his audience about how he sees that history is repeating itself with the war in Ukraine.
Yes. In fact, he was addressing specifically the Polish pilgrims who were present, and he was referring to an event that was organized a couple of days ago by the Center for Catholic-Jewish Relations in Lublin at the Catholic University there. And this was to commemorate the anniversary of an extermination plan that was carried out by the Nazis against Polish Jews during the Second World War. And so he talked about the the fact that he sees a link between what is happening right now and, of course, this war that is raging in Ukraine, for example. And he asked all to specifically pray. Here we are on the eve of the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. He specifically asked the faithful to pray to the Mother of God, asking for comfort for all those who have been tried by what he called, quote, the brutality of war.
A great reminder by the Holy Father, and it's very providential, Ashley, because today, December 7th, from an American perspective, is the 81st anniversary of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor that started World War II for the U.S., when the U.S. Got involved. So, important message by our Holy Father, and we invoke our Blessed Mother under the title of the Immaculate Conception. On a lighter note, yesterday was a big feast day, St. Nicholas Day around the world. How was it celebrated in Rome and Italy?
Well, let me tell you, St. Nicholas is loved here in Italy. And even though he was not Italian, the Italians have certainly claimed him. And the place to be on the Feast of St. Nicholas is in Bari, Italy, where he is entombed. So believe it or not, John, the celebrating began yesterday morning at 4:30 a.m. People were lined up in the piazza, lined up to enter the Church of San Nicola, the Church of St. Nicholas of Bari. And there was a lot of excitement because outside they were selling hot chocolate, teas, there were people playing instruments. And then the first Mass began at 5 a.m. And so people were lined up to go in and be part of the celebration of the Holy Mass. They were lined up just to go in and pray. They were lined up to drop off their petitions. In fact, there is a tradition for single women that St. Nicholas, on his special day, will help them find a man. And so the idea is that the single women leave a list of all of their characteristics that they would want in their ideal husband, and they drop it off there to St. Nicholas, who they ask to continue to pray for them. Now, of course, there's also delicious foods that people are enjoying on this day. So one is the St. Nicholas bread. And this is a special bread that's made in that area with lemon peel and lemon juice. And traditionally, people would bring it to the church. It would be blessed by the priest, and then they would take it home and enjoy it with their family and with their neighbors. Another special tradition of the day is bean soup. And this is because the many different beans are representative of the many blessings and the gifts of St. Nicholas himself. So this is a great place to celebrate the great St. Nick and to remember who he really was, John.
He was the real Santa Claus, and what a great way to celebrate with St. Nicholas bread and bean soup. Meanwhile, in Assisi, Advent is in full swing. It must look amazing.
Oh, it does. You know what? Assisi is especially decked out right now because tomorrow they are beginning a special light show. They're putting video projections of Giotto's beautiful frescoes on the major basilicas of the little town of Assisi. So the Basilica of St. Francis, the Cathedral of San Rufino, the Basilica of St. Clair, and the Abbey of St. Peter. And so what they do is they put up images of Giotto's frescoes, for example, his nativity. And his nativity scene, well, it's known to be especially dramatic and even innovative because it was very emotional. It wasn't as formal, for example, as Byzantine paintings that Giotto would have been familiar with, because instead, as you see Our Lady gazing as her newborn son, she has a sense of sadness that really pulls in the observer. And it's as though she's actually aware that she will lose her son one day. And traditionally, in Byzantine art, we see the birth of Christ depicted in a cave. But Giotto instead, with innovation, places the Holy Family in a shed, and there's livestock there, and they are eating, and it almost looks like they're moving around like real farm animals would. So these are this is one of the scenes that is going to be illuminated on the buildings. So visitors are invited to go and walk a special path. In fact, they're going to have stars that illuminate the path between all of these video mapping sites. And along the way, they're going to have life-size sculptures and all this beautiful artistic lighting on the houses in the historic center of the ancient town. Now, this is also especially interesting because this is the town of Assisi, which is under the patronage of St. Francis, and it's St. Francis who developed the first manger scene. So it's a wonderful combination of course, we see classic art combined with a modern way of demonstrating and sharing it. So during these days, starting tomorrow and for the next month after that, visitors to Assisi will certainly get a very special treat, John.
Sounds fantastic. Real briefly, yes. We've got about a minute left. Tell us about tomorrow's big celebrations for the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, a big feast day in Italy.
You got it. In fact, so the Holy Father will be making his way to a little piazza that's right next to the Spanish Steps. And in this piazza, there is a very tall column that is dedicated to Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception. And so every year, this tradition takes place where the Holy Father visits and places a wreath on the arm of this statue on top of the column. Now, it used to be that the Pope himself would actually go up, but these days a fireman goes up and places that wreath. And that's because this column was actually erected by firemen. And so since that time, it's been dedicated to firemen. And so on the wreath, there's a little a motto that's written, and it says, "We stop fires giving our hearts." And so sure enough, people will crowd into the square in order to be part of that special ceremony tomorrow to honor Our Lady. It's also the day that Rome will turn on all of its Christmas lights, its Christmas tree, and all of the excitement. Now, there's a little controversy with the tree, John. It's lit by solar panels this year. Some people are complaining, saying, how did the city get solar panels so easily when we applied 5 years ago? Some people are saying they're a bit unsightly, but nevertheless, the lights all go on tomorrow, John.
I'm sure the Christmas tree will still look fantastic. Ashley, as always, grazie. Thank you so much for bringing Rome to home to our audience.
Well, it is my absolute pleasure. God bless you.
Many blessings to you. Ashley Nerona, our Rome correspondent, who joins us every Wednesday from the Eternal City. You can listen to her reports on the Relevant Radio app. Just go to Relevant in Rome. We need to take a short break. When we come back, Kristen Hawkins, the president of Students for Life of America, will be with us. So much more to come as Morning Air continues after this.
This is new.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn and Sarah. It's a joy to be with you here on this Wednesday morning on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I want to talk about a disturbing story. A Catholic campus ministry center at the University of Nebraska received a death threat on Saturday morning in a note signed Jane's Revenge, a calling card used by pro-abortion activists. Joining us live from Washington, D.C. is Morning Air contributor Kristen Hawkins, the president of Students for Life of America and Students for Life Action, for much more on this horrific situation. Good morning, Kristen. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you once again.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Kristen, can you tell us what exactly happened this past Saturday morning at the St. John Paul II Newman Center there in Belleville, Nebraska, which is suburban Omaha?
Sure. Well, our team was gathering. We had advertised that Students Live Action was coming to Omaha to host one of our political leadership workshops. We've been working in the city of Bellevue, Nebraska, which is outside of Omaha, in between Omaha and Lincoln, to finally shut down the infamous late-term abortionist Leroy Carhart's abortion facility. And one of the ways we know we will have to engage to get this facility shut down, Nebraska, a late-term abortion free, is in the legislature. And so we are very busy in the primary season and the general season working to ensure voters elected pro-lifers to the Nebraska State House. And so we were there following up with that work, hosting a political leadership workshop, preparing our activists for what we're going to have to do when the unicameral legislature comes back into session this spring, so we can finally put that facility out of business. Our work in Bellevue has been well known. We advertised this event. It was going to be hosted. Newman Center graciously allowed us to host the event there. And when we arrived, this death threat was, you know, taped to the door of the center. And specifically, you know, mentioned, you know, we will come back and shoot up the center if abortions in Bellevue cease, directly referencing our work to shut down Leroy Carhart's abortion facility. So it was definitely a targeted threat. And, you know, we had to take it very seriously. The center called the police, the campus police, which called the city police. And then we began working with our students to find another location to host the event at and to move students there too. But it just, you know, we went public with the threat. We thought, you know, our policy at Students for Life has always been, if there are threats made, those who are in attendance need to know, and the broader public need to know. That's honestly one of the best ways we can protect ourselves.
No question about it. It's so concerning. And this threat is just one of many, many other intimidation tactics that have been used against pro-life organizations. According to LifeNews.com, there's been at least 10 arson or attempted arson attacks directly targeting pro-lifers and more than 150 other attacks since May. What is going on? How are they getting away with this?
Well, sadly, the Department of Justice, I mean, first of all, look at the rhetoric. You know, just last weekend, right before this death threat arrived at this doorstep, Hillary Clinton compared pro-lifers in America to the Taliban. That's what was happening. The rhetoric and that the Department of Justice, sadly, the Department of Justice, there hasn't been any arrests from all of the attacks you mentioned this summer from Jane's Revenge, yet we've seen peaceful pro-life activists who are praying in front of abortion facilities arrest and await federal charging. So what we need to have happen is we need our Department of Justice, we need the Biden administration to step up and affirm the basic First Amendment rights that pro-lifers have together and work together to end the violence of abortion.
Well, it's so concerning to hear this type of attack, and I understand that there was yet another attack later that afternoon on another church there in Omaha, again with the signature of Jane's Revenge. But thanks for bringing this to the attention of our listeners. Really appreciate it, as always, Kristen.
God bless.
Many blessings to you. Kristen Hawkins, the president of Students for Life of America. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called The Grinch Gets Christmas, from Dr. Seuss. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons, came without tags, it came without packages, boxes or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say, the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day. James 1:17, all good giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no alteration or shadow caused by change.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Really appreciate yet another Story Corner. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, our spiritual director, Father Marcel Tyon, will discuss St. Joseph's role during Advent as a father and a husband as he guided the Holy Family. And on Wednesdays, we always take a moment to remember St. Joseph. So this will be a great conversation. Also, personal success coach Dave Duran will be with us to talk about some of the tools commonly used by successful people. So stay with us. There's much more to come on the final hour of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.